Open your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10. In your Scofield Bible, page 703. We'll be reading the first eight verses, the eighth verse being the text verse for this evening's message. We'll read the verses responsively. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 1 through 8, and in your Scofield Bible, page 703. Shall we stand, please, standing for the reading of the Word of God. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wicked wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place, for yielding pacifieth great offenses. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as an error which proceedeth from the ruler. Folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And let's pray. Lord, you've been good to give us this time this evening. I'm so thankful for our church, for every institution that has been fostered by this church. What opportunity is ours? And we thank thee. We pray that you'd bless and give us tonight what we need from thy word. We're thankful for our preacher. We're thankful for his walk with thee, that we in turn might learn how better to likewise walk with thee. Bless us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
And I hate for a musician to steal the show. The text tonight, you need not turn to it. I'll read it for you. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. I want to speak tonight on a snake as a snake in the hedge. This sermon tonight is chosen specifically because this is the last Sunday service of our school, college year, and because we have graduations, we had them this week, and she'll have another Friday night. I got a letter, I'm going to guess it's about 8 years ago, may have been longer, from a lady in Minnesota. She said, "Dear Dr. Hiles, I have a daughter, I think she said, in junior high school, I'm not sure. She said, please don't let Hiles Anderson College change until she gets there. You've seen that young lady's picture in Sword of the Lord and in Revival Fires, other publications, as we showed the picture of that young lady when I think she was in junior high at the time. Well, that young lady graduates Friday night. Hiles Anderson College hasn't changed. But there's a reason it hasn't. I want to talk to you about it tonight. Where is that young lady? Would you stand, the Nelson girl? Where is she? Where? There she is. There, right there. There she is. God bless you. Thank you very much. And don't clap. She's just another Nelson. We got them all around this place. And it hasn't changed. But there's a reason for it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'd bless me tonight as I speak, and our people as they listen, and our institutions as they hang in the balance. Please. Amen. I want you to listen very carefully. It may be that you'd like to hang me before the sermon is over. I'm going to help you build the gallows tonight. And I want to talk to you very seriously. It says in our text, whoso breaketh the hedge, a serpent shall bite him.
God builds hedges around us. He builds hedges around us. Job 1:10. Satan said to God, "Hast thou made a hedge around him?" Meaning that God had built a hedge around Job. Hosea 2:6, "I will hedge up the way." Lamentations 3:7, "He hath hedged me about." In Job 3:23, "Whom God hath hedged in." Now the purpose of a hedge is to protect. That's what it's all about. It's to keep someone or something within a boundary. Is to protect. Purpose of the hedge that God builds around us is to protect us from the serpent. Bible says you break the hedge and you'll see the serpent. That's what Hammond Baptist High School is all about. It's a hedge to build around our young people. That's what Hammond Baptist Grade School is all about. That's what Hammond Baptist Junior High School is all about. That's what City Baptist Grade School is all about. That's what City Baptist High School is all about. That's what Hiles Anderson College is all about. To build a hedge around our young people to keep them from fiddling with the serpent. That's what our youth activities are all about. That's what our youth choirs are all about. That's what our school sports are all about. That's one reason why we don't play in schools that don't live by our convictions. If they come to our gymnasium, their cheerleaders dress according to our standards, or we don't play them. We're not going to dip ourselves. I'm worried about these Christian, so-called Christian schools playing public schools in sports, letting a bunch of stripped, half-naked young ladies walk down the field at halftime so the Christian men can look and commit adultery in their own hearts with them. You say, well, Christian men don't do that. You've got a hole in your head big enough when these trucks to drive through. Now, the simple truth is, the honest truth is, that the independent Baptist Christian schools today are in worse shape than the public schools were when I was in school 50, 60 years ago. And the reason is, we have not kept the hedge built around our young people. That's what youth conference is all about. You need, by the way, young people, you don't have to go outside the hedge, because the serpent's out there. Bible says, he that breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And you don't have, somebody said, well, every young person has to find out for himself. That's a bunch of baloney. Every young person doesn't have to find out for himself. Every young person has, in a sense, will trust the words of those of us who've seen people that have come back in from outside the hedge, bitten with the venom of a serpent that's wrecked and ruined their lives. I'm saying you don't have to go outside the hedge. We had our first graduation for Hammond Baptist High School 27 years ago. Hammond Times, that's that religious newspaper here in the area, they sent a reporter here, and the reporter put in the Hammond Times, after covering our graduation, he said, those young people, sheltered young people, won't know how to behave when they get out in the world. And I called him on the phone and said, Buster, we don't expect them to go out in the world. We're not training young folks to go out in the world. We're training folks to live in the hedge, and that's what it's all about. By the way, no one's trying to deprive you of anything. No one's trying to enslave you. No one's trying to take any fun away from you. We know there's a snake in the hedge. And we've seen people with the thousands who've gone out there and played with, gotten outside the hedge, and played outside the hedge, and been bitten by the venom of the serpent. And we're trying to tell you, if you've got any sense, you'll listen to us. You're listening right now to the man who's counseled with more people than any man who's ever lived. I'm talking about more than your psychiatrist that charges you $100 to do nothing but give you a bunch of garbage. $100 an hour, I mean. I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about. I've pastored more people than any man that's ever lived in the history of this country. I know what I'm talking about. I know the devil's a dirty, stinking liar. I know his advertisements are lies. And I know there's no joy out in the world. There's no happiness out in the world. And I know the only real joy you'll ever find is inside the hedge. And bless God, We built a hedge around you here, and I'm going to give my life as long as I live and can do it. I'm going to give my life to keeping that hedge all shored up. There's a snake in that rock music hedge, young people. There's a snake in that Hollywood hedge, young people. There's a snake in that soap opera hedge, young people. There's a snake in that unisex hedge, young people. I was at the airport in Hartford, Connecticut, Wednesday morning. I saw a little boy about that tall. He was a little fat fella. Looked like he'd need to go out and learn how to wrestle or box or something. I'm not against fat people. I love fat people. But little boys like that, unless they've got heart trouble or something, they ought to be taught to exercise. And I'm in trouble. But anyway, little kid. Now, his dad looked like a He-Man. So did his mother. And this little boy, about 3 or 4 years old, had a big earring in each ear. Now, I'm trying to say there's a snake in that unisex hedge. There's a snake in that premarital sex hedge, young people. There's a snake in that liberal hedge, young people. There's a snake in that mixed swimming hedge, young people. There's a snake in that NIV hedge, dear friends. There's a snake in that RSV hedge, that ASV hedge, and any other V other than the KJV hedge. There's a snake in that hedge. There's a snake in that new evangelical hedge. There's a snake in that interdenominational hedge. There's a snake in that ecumenical hedge. There's a snake in that sex education hedge. There's a snake in that secular education hedge. There's a snake in that secular university and state university hedge. There's a snake in that queer rights hedge. There's a snake in that abortion hedge. There's a snake in that gun control hedge. And with the grace of God, I'm going to walk guard around the hedge and keep it in good shape so you can be protected from what's out there in this old heathen world. I know what some of you folks are saying. You're visitors here tonight. You came to see what's going on. You're on a little vacation time, sightseeing to see what's going on. Hey, what's going on? Old-fashioned America's going on. Hey, what's going on? Old-time religion's going on. Hey, what's going on? The book that built this country is going on here. It's exactly what's going on. I was over here in East Chicago soul winning one day, and a communist walked up to me, and he said, "Why don't you fundamentalists leave this country?" I said, "Because we got here first. You communists leave this country." This country was built on decency. This country was built on the hedge around our young people, a hedge of protection. Now, I want to say this tonight. Satan is trying to destroy those hedges. He has done so in every major denomination. I wish you could have seen the Assembly of God people 40 and 50 years ago. If you saw an Assembly of God lady 40 or 50 years ago, she had on a long black dress down to her ankles. Her hair was in a bun like this behind, straight. And she looked like a poor, underprivileged nun. I mean, and you would never see even the calf of the leg of an Assembly of God lady. Now you can see the whole body. Look like a bunch of whores on these television programs, these charismatic television programs that you shouldn't be watching. I'm saying that there was a day when there was a hedge around the Assembly of God people, and though I've never been doctrinally in agreement with them, I used to thank God for their convictions and their style of life and their standards. And the same thing's true of the Nazarenes. I wish you could have known the old-fashioned Nazarenes. I wish you could have known the old-fashioned Church of God people. For that matter, the old-fashioned shouting Methodist people. I wish you could have known them. Hey, we're not the new ones on the block. The new ones on the block are the pant-wearing women and the short-wearing women and the mixed women folks. They're the new ones on the block. We've been here all along. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what America used to look like. And this is what the churches of America used to look like. But Satan's trying his best and succeeding in destroying these hedges. You know where I learned separation? In a Southern Baptist church. You know where I learned not to go to movies? In a Southern Baptist church. You know where I learned not to listen to dirty music? In a Southern Baptist church. You know where I learned not to dance? In a Southern Baptist church. I mean, and yet Satan has absolutely destroyed the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, you say, Brother Hiles, I'm in it. Yeah, okay, then that's why I'm preaching to you. Get out of it. Satan has destroyed it. Destroyed it. Well, it's one good thing about being old. I can always go down to Florida and play shuffleboard. But I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, our young people are going to go to the devil like everybody else's have if you don't keep this hedge around them. I picked up a paper last week. A little religious paper published by the Baptist Bible Fellowship. I wish you could have known the old-time Baptist Bible Fellowship people. I picked it up, and they said in the paper that Baptist Bible College East and Baptist Bible College in Springfield has made it possible for the girls to wear loose-fitting pants now. Now, in the first place, who's going to check, see how tight they are? So now then, Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, allows the girls to wear pants on campus. That isn't all. Bob Jones University allows young ladies to wear pants to play sports on campus. Now, the question I'd like to ask you, was Bob Jones Sr. wrong? Was he wrong? I'd like to ask you, was G.B. Vick wrong, who founded and was president for years of Baptist Bible College? Was he wrong? I'd like to ask you, was Dr. Bill Dowell wrong? I'd like to ask you, was Dr. A.V. Henderson wrong? I'd like to ask you, was Dr. John R. Rice wrong? I'd like to ask you, was Dr. Oliver B. Green wrong? I'd like to ask you, was Lester Roloff wrong? No, they were not wrong. And what has happened is a bunch of liberal pussyfooters have come in and broken down the hedges, and nobody's got the guts enough to stand up in the gap and say, I'll stand in the gap, and this hedge will not be broken down. I know what some of you folks are saying. I don't think you ought to call names while you preach, and don't ever do it. The reason that the hedges have been broken down is because of the pulpit. Ezekiel 13:5 says, God said to the prophets, you have neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel. It was the prophet supposed to keep the hedge repaired. It was the prophet that was supposed to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. It used to be that the pulpit determined the people's lifestyle. Now the people's lifestyle determines what comes from the pulpit. They'll make popsicles in hell before that'll be true here. You won't tell me what to preach. And I won't check with you before I preach. I'll check with him before I preach, but I won't check with you before I preach. Mr. Hybels over here, on the other side of Chicago, going house to house asking the folks what they want in a church. Dr. Shuler out there in California, going house to house, going to start a church, or was, and did. House to house, asking folks what they want in the church. What they ought to do is go out in a pee pad somewhere and get on their face before God and say, what do you want in the church? What does that book want in the church? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It's a fault of the pulpit. Now, I'm going to get down to the main crux of it. It is the job of the preacher to stand in the hedge gap and rebuild it. Ezekiel chapter 20 and 22, verse number 30. I sought for a man among them that could make up the hedge and stand in the gap. What's the preacher's job? The preacher's job is to check the hedge. Just go around all the time checking the hedge. Every time he sees a gap there, stand in it himself. Just stand there in the gap. And then while you're standing there, repair the hedge. That's my job. That's for 38 years, I've looked for a gap in this place. And when I found a gap, I've stood in it. And while I'm standing in it, I rebuild it. And I don't care how long I'm pastor of this church, as long as I stand behind this pulpit or roam this platform, I'll promise you one thing, the old man's going to be looking for gaps in the hedge. And every time I see one, I'm going to stand right there in the gap. That's what I was doing 28 years ago. Our years ago, 28 years ago, when Hammond Baptist High School had a basketball game in the early days. I was preaching in Atlanta, Georgia on Monday and Tuesday. We had a basketball game on Monday night with Wheaton High School in Wheaton, Illinois. So happened that my airplane couldn't land in Atlanta because of an ice storm. It turned around in the air, came back to Chicago, and during the ball game, early part of the game, I walked in the gymnasium out there. We were out yonder in the old school building then. I walked in the gymnasium. I saw the cheerleaders of Wheaton High School out there in skirts up there. Woo! It was winter time. I walked in the gymnasium, and there in the gymnasium of Hammond Baptist High School were a bunch of short-skirted, mini-skirted girls showing their panties in our gymnasium. Now, if you want that, you get you another preacher. As long as I'm here, I'm standing in the gap when a hedge gets weak, and I'm going to stand in the gap. That's why I walked out on the court. I intercepted the basketball. Stood there with the PA system and said to the girls, to the girls, you're not going to be like that in Hammond Baptist Gymnasium. Their little principal came walking out where I was. And he said, you have a bad spirit. I said, didn't you get a letter from us that your girls had to have skirts down covering their knees? Yes, we did. I said, then you understood you're supposed to do that. Yes. I said, you didn't do it, did you? I said, I'd rather have a bad spirit than be deceptive. Now, I said, you get your girls over there, and they cover their legs up with their overcoats, and they sit there during the game, or this game is over. You say, what do you think you are, a dictator? No, I'm not, but it's close. It's hard to tell the difference. I'll tell you, I'm not a dictator, but I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be a part of anything that's a bunch of naked gals show their thighs on a gymnasium of a church or school that I have anything to do with. I'm not going to do it. Some of you visiting ladies haven't seen a man so long, you don't know how to take it, do you? Some of you men look at your wives and tell them to shut up. And then jump out of the pew quickly. You say, what were you doing out there? I was standing in the gap. And while I was there, I rebuilt the hedge. And the school's been there 27 years now, and bless God, the rules and the standards are exactly like they were 27 years ago. And the reason is an old man has stood in the gap and rebuilt the hedge. That's why when I was at the college a couple of years ago, saw one of our staff members wearing a pair of gauchos down the hallway. I called a meeting of the faculty and staff immediately and said, we won't do that here. We'll wear skirts. If we wear culottes, they'll have to be where you won't know they're culottes. And I threw a fit. P-H-I-T, fit. What were you doing? Stand in the gap! And rebuilding the hedge. That's why when I picked up at Howells Anderson College, and some of this stuff shouldn't have to get to me. That's why when I picked up at Howells Anderson College, a piano recital program one day, and looked at that program already printed, the recital was already announced, 8 of the 10 numbers were secular classical numbers. That's why immediately I got in the gap and rebuilt the hedge. We're not here to train Liberace's. We're here to train gospel pianists. That's what I'm saying. That somebody's got to stand in the gap in the music department. Somebody's got to stand in the gap in the education department. Somebody's got to stand in the gap in the athletics department. and rebuild the hedge. Brother, it's the job of the pulpit to stand in the gap. So what happened? We had some students at Howells Anderson College spreading some false doctrine. Some of you guys were there. I went out one day and cleaned the house. We just said goodbye to a bunch of students and expelled them. And you say, Brother Hines, you got a bad spirit. Yeah, I worked awful hard to get it. Anybody that hadn't got a bad spirit about modernism is not right with God. Anybody that hadn't got a bad spirit about worldliness is not right with God. I'm simply saying, you say, well, Brother Hines, I just think that you ought to have a bunch of classical music. We're not training a bunch of classical concert pianists. We're training some old-fashioned gospel pianists to play music in old-fashioned gospel churches and sing old-fashioned gospel songs. That's all about. That's what happened. When a teacher at Hammond Baptist Schools stood up in the classroom and says, all right to wear shorts. It's about 23 years ago. I walked up to that teacher and said, one of us is getting fired. She said, how much notice? I said, 5 minutes. Either you're getting fired now, or if I can't fire you, then I'll quit. But nobody is going to stand up. Listen, you're paying tuition to send your kids to a school. Why pay tuition to send them to a school that likes the public schools? Drive by. Go out here at Lansing sometime and drive by that Christian school out there. Look at them and see what the difference is. Well, bless God, you drive by Hammond Baptist High School and you'll see a difference. And the reason is an old man has stood in the gap for 38 years and said the devil can't have our kids. That's why. That's what happened a few years ago. Listen carefully to this. I stood right here at a wedding and watched a bunch of dresses worn at a wedding in First Baptist Church of Hammond. They were immodest. I'm be very frank with you. You could see the cleavage in young ladies' bosoms, right here. I got in the gap. Now that woman right there checks every wedding dress, every wedding gown. And by the way, don't get mad at her, get mad at me. I'm the one that had the idea. You're not going to come up here and show 90% of your back at a wedding at First Baptist Church of Hammond. You're not going to do it. You're not going to have your shoulder sticking out of your dress at a wedding at First Baptist Church of Hammond. You say, I don't like it. Tear it up it. Somebody's got to stand in the gap, or this church will go the way of every other old church. You see, you got me in mind? Probably do. Better blow my nose. That's what happened. When I found out not long ago, while I was out of town, a liberal preacher stood behind this pulpit and sang at a funeral. I found out about it. I threw a gospel fit. It's not going to happen again. You say, can't I choose anybody I want to sing at my loved one's funeral? Not here. No, sir. No liberal preacher as long as I'm here. What'd you do? I got in the gap and rebuilt the hedge. No Catholic's going to sing here. 2 and 2 is 4. Sunrise East sets in the West. Pope's a Catholic. The Cubs are going to come in last place this year. And this pulpit is not going to be graced for music or preaching from anybody that's not a Bible-believing fundamentalist. Aren't you scared to preach like that? No, I'll just go to Miami, play shuffleboard. Somebody's got to stand in the gap. And somebody's got to have the courage to do it and the guts to do it. While the hedge were broken down, and as soon as that hedge is broken down, the snake is visible. That's what that's what happened when I saw went out to a basketball game at our high school and saw our people jeering, waving their hands and handkerchiefs like that behind the game while the other team was shooting free throws. I said, we don't do that. We don't jeer. We don't boo. We don't try to obstruct the view of the other team while they're shooting free throws. Somebody's got to stand in the gap. Years ago, I went out to Hammond Baptist High School. I went to chapel and I saw one of the teachers wasn't there. I decided to go hunting, check and see where she was. I found her in her classroom during chapel. And I said, you got to be in chapel. She said, I've been a public school teacher all these years, and I believe in academic freedom. And I said, I don't. You don't have freedom not to go to chapel. He said, Brother Hiles, you are the most... I'm pretty narrow-minded, but the hedge is in pretty good shape. I'm hard-boiled, but the hedge is in pretty good shape. And you better thank God somebody's standing in the gap every once in a while to keep this hedge in decent shape and rebuild the place that's broken down. That's what happened. In 1959, I came here, walked over to the beginner department. Somebody said, see that lady right there? I said, what about it? She said, she works in a bar and teaches and is a worker in the beginner department. I'd just gotten here. I'd been here but 2 or 3 weeks. I walked in the beginner department and said, you're through. She said, through what? I said, through teaching. She said, why? I said, because you work in a bar. She said, what's wrong with that? I said, I don't have to explain it to you. I said, you're through. She said, who's going to make me? I said, I am. She said, I was here when you came, and I'll be here when you leave. I'm still here. In every institution, whether it's Bob Jones University back in the days of Dr. Bob Jones Sr., or Tennessee Temple back in the heyday of Dr. Lee Robertson. Shoot, praise the Lord. I was in chapel down there. I was preaching one day down there. I was sitting where you're sitting right now on that platform. Boy out there was reading a paper during chapel. Put that paper down! This is no place to read a paper! I said put the paper down! Scared the fire out of me. I didn't read a paper for a month. I don't care if it's G.B. Vick at Baptist Bible College, Myron Cedar Holm at Maranatha Baptist Bible College, Bob Jones Sr. at Bob Jones University, Tennessee Temple, and Dr. Robertson's day. I don't care who it is. Anytime you find an institution that is fundamental and standing for soul winning in the old time religion and old fashioned standards, you'll find a mean old man up in the desk in his office somewhere. Standing in the gap. That's what happened when I found a deacon smoking. I called in the office and stood in the gap and said, your days are over as a deacon. He said, you have a right to fire a deacon? No, but have a right to scare him so much we resign. I'm not going to pastor a church got a bunch of smoking deacons. You sound like a dictator. You just decide what you want to decide. It just so happens, brother, that I've given my life to this hedge around here, and I aim to keep it in good shape till I'm gone. That's why every speaker that speaks in our schools, I approve them. Ms. Evans back there. Dr. Robertson's here preaching. Down in chapel, Ms. Evans had him speak for 10 minutes in her class. I called her on the phone or talked to her and said, Ms. Evans, you didn't get Dr. Robertson approved to speak in your class. Well, she said, he spoke in chapel. I figured you'd. I said, you don't have to figure it, just get him approved. You say, Brother Hiles, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that somebody's got to walk guard around this place, and somebody's got to look at that hedge every time you see a weak spot, stand in the gap in that hedge. Now, so happens, I approved Dr. Robertson. He won't lightning to strike me and kill me and my whole family. That's why I approve every speaker that speaks at WMS. That's why I meet the WMS officers and work with them in planning the program for the year. That's why I approve every youth activity, every college activity, every page in the yearbook. I approve every page in the college yearbook. Check every picture myself. Say, what are you doing, standing in the gap? Now, all that say this, and I'll close. Some of you, you're leaving the hedges. We've tried to prepare you for this day. Now you must build your own. And the serpent is still there. He's still there. And you'll have to build your own hedges now. We can't give you demerits anymore. We can't expel you from school anymore. We have tried to keep you safe. And ladies and gentlemen, the only purpose of my life in pastoring here is to help you turn your kids out right. But you're not going to turn your kids out right if we become like all the other schools and all the other churches. Somebody has got to stand in the gap, and you're looking at him. Now, if you don't want somebody to stand in the gap, then you get you some little preacher, wears lace on his underwear, and hire him. But as long as I'm behind this pulpit or on this platform, I'm going to stand in the gap. And I'm going to rebuild the hedges, because there's a serpent there at the break in the hedges. Now, here's what we need. We need for some of this stuff, as I said a while ago, not to get to me. It wouldn't hurt for some of you folks when you see that first little break in the hedge. It wouldn't hurt for you to start to repair it yourself. It wouldn't hurt at all. It wouldn't hurt for you department heads not to let the gap get in the hedge. It wouldn't hurt for you to keep your eyes open and help me keep this thing like it ought to be. Now you listen, and I'm through. And you hear me well right now. And if you want to hang me on this, you go right ahead. That's all right. I'll provide the gallows for you. But you listen to me carefully. Hiles Anderson College and First Baptist Church of Hammond, as far as a large, great church is concerned, is the last line of defense for the old-time religion in America. There are a lot of small churches, and medium-sized churches are taking a stand. But there's not one great, pardon me, super-sized church that's taken the stand. Not one. And we've got to be on guard all the time. And so, the Bible says in our text tonight, you break down the hedge, you'll see the serpent there. That's the evil one. Bible says that the devil's trying to break down the hedges. The Bible says that the prophet is the one that's supposed to keep the hedge in good shape. The Bible says the prophet is the one that's supposed to stand in the gap when the hedge is in bad repair. Stand in the gap, at the same time, be rebuilding that hedge. I'll put our young people up against any. I'm going to close with this one little illustration. 37 years ago, next month, we had a big blow up here at this church. I had been here for almost a year, and I'd tried to gradually change the church to old-time religion, old-fashioned standards. We had an American Baptist church, American Baptist element in the church that wanted the church to stay in the American Baptist Convention. I stood up one morning. I read my manifesto. I said, if you don't vote on the following six things, I'm going back to Texas. I listed those six things. The next Wednesday night, we had a meeting, a question-and-answer meeting, where I stood behind the pulpit and the folks just asked questions to find out what was going to happen to the church if I stayed. I never forget it because we were American Baptists then. And the state executive secretary of the American Baptist Convention came up for the meeting that night and brought his little Tonto with him. First name was Dallas. I won't go on his last name. They walked in the hall over there in the office, and I saw him, and I knew him. I walked up to him. I said, "Dallas, I know why you're here." I said, "You're the state executive secretary of the American Baptist Convention. You're here to try to cause trouble." But I said, "You're not going to cause any trouble." And I said, "That goes for you too, Tonto. You're not going to cause any trouble either." I said, "This is what happens in this church is none of your business." And I said, "If you as much as stand up at this meeting tonight, I'm getting four men, two for your arms and two for your legs. We're going to throw you on your bottom out there on Sibley Street. If you don't believe it, stand up." I said, "I hope you do. I'd like to see it done." They sat over here in the building, old building over there. They sat right over here. We stayed there at 11:15 that night asking questions. They didn't even stand up during the songs. In fact, they may still be over there. I don't know. But that night, a little lady sitting right over here stood up. She said, "Well, if you stay, what kind of a program are you going to have for the young people?" I said, "The same kind we have for the old people. Bible, soul winning, prayer, Christian living." She grabbed a little girl there, and she tried to say several things at one time. But it came out, "Oh, Agabash!" And she walked out. I won't tell you what happened to that little girl. It's too tragic to even tell you. I said to the people that night, I said, "You trust me with your young people for a generation. Just trust me. I promise you, you'll be proud of the product we turn out." Well, it's been 38 years now, almost been 37 years since then. I rest my case. I rest my case. Finest young people in this country are turned out here. And I want to tell you one reason. And if you want to call this conceit, make the most of it. An old man has been here for almost 38 years. And every time he's seen a gap in the hedge, he's stood in it. And while he stood in it, he rebuilt it for the sake of our young people, for the sake of our kids. Thank God for them. They approved our case. And you folks don't like this kind of preaching, trot your young people out. Let's see how they're doing. Let's see your product. Our Heavenly Father, every once in a while I've got to do this. I'd love to preach like I preached this morning.